You're with Cape Talk.
You're with Cape Talk.
12 minutes, it is past 9 o'clock. Kay Oliver joining us now on the line from London for this weekend's edition of the UK Report. And it's all about Megxit, Kay, following the announcement, of course, by the statement, rather, released by Buckingham Palace. They've concluded talks.
Absolutely, Oscar. Good morning to you. And it certainly is. It's being called Megxit here, and the deal has been sealed. The Duke and Duchess of Sussex are going to lose their HRH status, and they're going to give up the sovereign grant. They are also going to pay back to the British taxpayer £2.4 million that was paid for the renovation of their house, Frogmore Cottage, within Berkshire. Now, it clearly is a statement that's taken some time to work out. There were earlier talks last week at Sandringham between several of our top royals, Queen, Prince Charles, Prince William, and Prince Harry, as to how the couple, how Meghan and Harry would move forward with their plans to go to Canada. And it seems that in a statement last night, they've now got the way forward has been cleared for them. And the Queen has said that after months of conversation and more recent discussion, I'm pleased that we have found a constructive and supportive way forward for my grandson and his family. Now, clearly the couple are prepared to split their time between Canada and the United Kingdom. Security is foremost in many people's minds as to also how they go forward safely with their son Archie, and it seems there is going to be a £7.5 million security bill that is still going to have to be ironed out as to who pays for that. Canada, the UK will clearly pay most of it, but it's the Canadian contribution to that that clearly people are looking at. Harry will now be known as Harry, Duke of Sussex, Meghan, Duke, Duchess of Sussex. And it's kind of an echo here of Harry's own mother, who became Diana, Princess of Wales. Now, the talking is over publicly, but clearly there's still an awful lot to be ironed out, Africa, in this one, not least the way that the couple will be making their money. There are all kinds of rumours as to how this is going to happen. Some people are saying it's perhaps not the right way for royal couples to behave, but clearly their path is now being cleared to move to North America, and things will start to happen. They have got their 8-month-old baby, Archie. He is in Vancouver with Meghan at the moment. And I'm sure this news now has been received with a great deal of, shall we say, clarity as to the way forward for them.
Royal commentators, in fact, saying that this announcement from Buckingham Palace is a clear indicator that there is no halfway house. You can't be part royal, part private citizen. And I know that a lot of people are speculating that this decision, if you like, by the Sussexes, was a decision of modernizing royalty. But it seems now they will have a role that is almost distinct and separate from any kind of royal duty.
Well, I think, Africa, that's clearly going to be the way forward. It is going to be very separate, because clearly, if they are out earning money, I think there were rumours this week that Meghan would be getting involved with a voiceover for a Lion King Disney film, that there has to be this separation. They cannot be representing the Queen whilst pursuing a career on the commercial side of life. So I think that this the line has been drawn, and we will now see that they become Harry and Meghan Limited as they move forward with the way they are going to earn their money. And clearly there has been discussion about just how much this young couple need to move forward in a way and a manner in which they are accustomed. And they are. There was one thought that Meghan had been looking at a house in North America, multi-million pounds properties. And yes, I should think whether or not they're going to make the front cover of We Have a Magazine, Hello Magazine, is something yet to be seen.
I must confess that when I was reading the statement released by Buckingham Palace, it really once again read like a personal note from the Queen. I obviously royal aides, and I imagine government would have been consulted in this, but this is very much a grandmother speaking of her grandson and his family, and reflecting somewhat on some of, well, it wouldn't have been an easy decision, surely, for the Duke and the Duchess.
Well, absolutely. I think for the 93-year-old Queen, this must be a heartbreaking time for her. And as you quite say, Africa, there is this feeling that she's talking really as a grandmother in all of it. And I think she's also said, it's my whole family's hope that the agreement allows this family to start building a happy and peaceful new life. So she wants them to go forward while still really... I mean, I think one of the things that came out of Sandringham, where they had the talks earlier this week, was that she wanted everyone to move forward in a constructive way. She's supportive of their desire to find a new role, but she would have preferred them to stay as full-time royals. So it's an extremely difficult time for Her Majesty the Queen. And people that I've spoken to, many of whom actually live in Windsor, say that their feeling at this time is sadness for the royal family, particularly for our 93-year-old Queen.
Understandably. In other news, because I suppose there are other news, new figures reveal that the number of knife crimes being dealt with by the police and courts in the UK are the highest in a decade.
Well, absolutely, and I don't think there's any surprise on that one. Knife crime in this country is clearly increasing beyond anyone's kind of most horrific thoughts. Now, the English and Welsh courts have handled more than 22 knife and weapon offences in the year up to September 2019. And according to the Ministry of Justice here, this is a 3% rise on the previous year, and the high since 2009, when there were 27,000 cases. So clearly this is something, I know our new Prime Minister Boris Johnson has absolutely vowed to tackle this huge increase in knife crime that is going on here.
A smog emergency across the south of Europe, where cities are experiencing dangerously high levels of smog, caused by a prolonged period of dry, sunny weather and light winds.
Well, we've all watched in horror what's going on in Australia, and it now seems that across this kind of southern Europe, there have been temporary bans on diesel vehicles being driven in major Italian cities, including Rome. And also in Bosnia-Herzegovina, protesters have taken to the streets wearing gas masks, demanding action from the government. There's a feeling that nothing really constructive is being done to beat clearly the effects of global warming. And we are seeing more and more examples of this. And I think also with what's happened in Australia and the terrible bushfires and the way that people are now having breathing difficulties through the smoke clouds, it really is time for everyone to take action. And we are now seeing people actively out on the streets across Europe, campaigning and complaining and demanding immediate action from the governments.
And is that what we're seeing playing itself out in Bosnia-Herzegovina, where protesters have taken to the streets wearing gas masks?
Well, absolutely. They've taken it into their own hands to get out there and do something, because I suppose the fear is that if the climate emergency isn't dealt with, people really will have to wear breathing apparatus. I've seen children on the streets close to where I live in London, and some of those are wearing breathing apparatus. And we're talking about 10, 11-year-old children who've got these masks on, as we normally see people in Hong Kong wearing, because they are finding it difficult to breathe. And I think asthmatics, particularly children, everyone with breathing difficulties is finding that they are certainly having more and more problems.
Let's finish off, Kay, with a startling story of a top restaurant chain that has been fined for serving up whitefish and calling it lobster.
Now, can you believe this, Africa? Now, I don't know if I've had lobster that often in my life, but it would appear that this top restaurant chain, it's called Ask, has been fined £40,000 because they were serving up a dish, I would think quite heavily coated with garlic, of what should have been lobster and king prawns. But the unfortunately, the lobster in this dish has now been found as white fish, with a little bit of starch and cleverly concealed to taste a little like lobster. And it's come to light, and there are several diners over several years who probably hadn't noticed, but somebody did, and as a result, they have been fined. And I would think this particular dish is now off the menu.
I would hope so. Kay, lovely to chat to you again. We'll chat, of course, next week, Sunday. Kay Oliver there giving us this weekend's edition of the UK Report.